We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
Then I'll just, there's good news.
These are dangerous times.
Good news, everyone.
Target, target, yeah, they target in. Target, target, yeah, they target kids. Target, target, yeah, they target in. Target, target, yeah, they target.
So do not shop at Target, or else you're gay and you're a pervert. And that's all I have to say about that.
What Jefferson wrote was, the state should not infect the church. The church should infect the state.
Tips on the drag queen go swish, swish, swish. Isn't that lovely?
All diversity initiatives are anti-white initiatives.
Hardworking Americans are asked to subsidize the $80,000 degree in intersectional gender studies for their now underemployed Starbucks barista.
Can I please shake your hand? Can I please?
This is the beginning of the end for the Biden administration, saith the Lord.
Senate amendment, the amendment is acceptable to the author. Is there objection to the opposite amendment? The chair has none. The amendment is adopted.
While the woke mind virus is basically a form of cultural Marxism and leave woke ideology on the dustbin of history, I think we have no choice but to wage a war on woke.
You realize just how sort of nasally and effeminate his voice is.
Rob DeSanctimonious and his poll numbers are dropping like a rock.
Look, this is what he's got going on. He's going to be the ultimate rhino. Ron, you are the ultimate rhino.
So in the eyes of the court of heaven, Donald J. Trump is still the president of the United States.
No, Elon's on the spectrum, and Ron's a little on the spectrum.
Almost impossible for a white guy who's not gay, apparently, to get appointed here.
I've always rejected the politicization of the weather.
I have no animosity or hatred toward the United States federal government. And I have forgiven my captors.
The members are reminded to abide by decorum of the House.
They're living on planet crazy, and I don't frankly want to be on that same planet with them because they've lost their minds.
Good news, crybabies!
The Oath Keepers, convicted of seditious conspiracy and other charges for their participation January 6th. Today, a federal judge heard victim statements, including from Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn, who said he continues to seek therapy, quote, to learn how to heal from January 6th. It has taken such a toll on me. As well as Virginia Brown, who was just a college student working as a Senate assistant, carrying the actual physical electoral ballots right before the attack. She said in court, quote, I constantly relive the memories of that day. I cannot measure how many hours of sleep I've lost. Prosecutors are asking the judge for what would be the longest sentences yet in all the January 6 cases, including 25 years for Oath Keeper founder Elmer Stuart Rose III on the right and 21 years for member Kelly Meggs. Prosecutors say that they, along with seven other Oath Keepers, played a, quote, central and damning role in the attack on American democracy. And as a co-conspirator recognized, these actions made these defendants traitors. NBC News Justice reporter Ryan Riley was in the courtroom today.
Yeah, you know, to me, the thing that really stood out was that Virginia Brown testimony, just because it's something that we really haven't heard before. And just, you know, just if you step back for a moment and think about this young woman's life, you know, she was someone who, if you just do the math, was born after 9/11, you know, probably spent her entire life going through these sort of drills that we've seen, you know, that that kids who go to school have to go through these days to prepare for disastrous incidents. And then talked about how she, you know, took off her shoes and was running for her life, you know, during this attack on the Capitol. And this was someone who was had just, you know, I think was a freshman probably in college when the COVID-19 pandemic started, and then, you know, gets this experience of working in the Senate and then has this horrific incident happened to her there. And, you know, what was striking, I mean, the composure that she kept in court, you know, and it was really, I think, emotional for a lot of the people who were there, including some of the testimony that we saw from officers, as well as from Nancy Pelosi's staff. But, you know, I was in another sentencing hearing, and it is this kind of thing where you can get a little bit sort of just like used to this and, mm-hmm. you know, okay, you how many times are we going to hear this at some point? And one thing that the prosecutor made a point of mentioning in this other hearing was that, you know, the officers are getting tired of doing this too. You know, some of the times we don't have victims who actually speak in these things because this has been 2 years of them having to go in court over and over again and tell these stories and make sure that they're held accountable. And it's really important work, but it can also be quite a grind, I think, for these officers who have gone through a lot and have to relive that day over and over again.
Bad news, everyone.
I've talked to a lot of important people. Supreme Court justices, presidents, presidential candidates, brilliant people. And talking with you is really the most impressive conversation I've had. Number one, there's very few people who could sit there and speak the way you do, from subject to subject to subject to subject. If people would let you speak and actually listen to you, while you have the enormous pressure on your shoulders of these grand juries and other things going on, and you still are able to do it. That is absolutely remarkable. And as you go through the history of your presidency, and I read these letters in this book, it was a phenomenal presidency. Phenomenal presidency. And the reason you don't get the credit that you deserve is because perhaps that's going to be up to history when people look back and say, wait a minute, he was right about this and this and this and so forth.
Take a sip of our freshly squeezed orange juice and let the juicy, sweet liquid run down your throat. The right way to start your day. Perfect for a quick beverage or a family reunion. Your mother definitely won't think you're an embarrassment anymore. Each orange is hand-squeezed by myself personally.
Yummy.
Orange juice. Make breakfast great again.
A gracious good afternoon. This is Miss Tomlin of the telephone company. Do I have the party to whom I am speaking?
It's President Trump.
We have several complaints about nasty phone calls from the White House. No, not to the president, from the president. Well, it must have been you.
What a schmuck I was. But that's the way it is. That's the way it is.
I want you to listen to a little recording. Can you hear it all right? That's right. Do you recognize that voice? It is you. And do you remember the basic content of that conversation? Oh, wait a minute. I want to hear this part again.
Look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have.
Sir, just tell me, what right have you got to impose your vulgar degeneracy on the American people?
Because there's no way they beat me. We won every state. We won by hundreds of thousands of votes. Give me a break.
Tell me, have you tried therapy? Obscene phone calls are your therapy.
It's not fair to take it away from us like this. It's crazy.
There's no reason on earth for you to feel personally persecuted.
So tell me, what are we going to do?
We can arrange to leave you powerless. Yes, we can. Phoenicia, this is Ernestine. Listen, I want you to send out right away a bulletin, an investigation bulletin on
Donald Trump.
Blackmail is such an ugly word. Let's just call it a vicious threat. Now, you know that $1.63? Charge it to
Donald Trump.
Well, he may as well be charged with it. He's been charged with everything else.
News, everyone.
Yeah, I mean, it's very clear that Trump is trying to do this last-ditch effort. You know, it's the kind of thing you do right before you think you're about to be indicted. And it is likely, almost certainly, going nowhere, Nicole. So,
good news, everyone.
You grab women by the So wouldn't that be considered sexual assault?
No, Tech Stuff, I'm sorry. I didn't realize game was now a felony in our country. It's called game. And, you know, there's a doctrine, there's a very old legal doctrine. You wouldn't know this. You wouldn't know this, but I know the laws better than everybody. It's called don't hate the player, hate the game. And they want to hate the player. This is like basic law. They're hating the player. And they should be hating the game. If they want to hate, they shouldn't hate. We believe in peace and love and great strength. But if they want to hate, the law says you can hate the game, but right now this is called player hating, which is Punishable by death in some countries, by the way. You know, we're not one of those countries, but maybe we should be. How about juror number six? I'm sorry to tell you, but you've been charged with capital player hating. Welcome to lethal injection. Bye-bye.
Good news, everyone.
Donald Trump currently faces legal peril on multiple fronts, and the strategy he often uses to tackle these issues is not a secret. He makes his enemies the enemies of his followers. He attacks them in public. He tries to ruin their careers. Sometimes he even defames them. That is the Trump playbook, and it has been for years. But now that his legal troubles have piled up considerably, Trump is making his fight against his enemies more explicit. In new reporting today, Rolling Stone magazine details how Trump is trying to go after the FBI and the Justice Department agents who are currently investigating him. Quote, in recent months, the former president has asked close advisors, including at least one of his personal attorneys, if we know all the names of senior FBI agents and Justice Department personnel who have worked on the federal probes into him. Trump has then privately discussed that should he return to the White House, it is imperative his new Department of Justice quickly and immediately purge the FBI and DOJ's ranks of these officials and agents who've led the Trump-related criminal investigations. During some of the conversations this year, including at Trump's Florida club, Mar-a-Lago, some of Trump's close political allies told him they are working on figuring out the identities of the FBI and DOJ staff and forming lists. So the time-tested Trump playbook is operational here in a big way, but some things, at least, are different this time around, like this. The Justice Department is not making it easy for Trump. According to Rolling Stone, the DOJ appears to be stonewalling Trump's allies, who are asking for the names of those hired by the special counsel to investigate Trump. The department is also obscuring the names of the special counsel's lawyers and personnel on official emails, according to a source with direct knowledge of the situation.
Good news, everyone!
Why did you leave the former president's legal team?
So, as I said at the time, it had nothing to do with the case itself or the client. The real reason is because there are certain individuals that made defending the president much harder than it needed to be.
That was Timothy Parlatore, one of Donald Trump's former lawyers. Mr. Parlatore used to represent Trump in the Mar-a-Lago documents investigation. And since Parlatore left Trump's legal team a few weeks ago, we have known that there was trouble in paradise. But tonight, new reporting shows just how serious that trouble actually is. The Daily Beast is reporting about a meeting last month at Mar-a-Lago where several of Trump's lawyers threatened to leave. Two sources described the meeting to the Daily Beast as, quote, an intervention. The outlet says the lawyers' concerns here were twofold. Number one, Trump is under investigation for so many things that his legal team is massive, and these lawyers do not all get along. But more than not getting along, these lawyers are also wondering if one of them could be a snitch. Quote, what's really driving the deepest distrust is the way Special Counsel Jack Smith's investigators have started turning up the heat on Trump's own lawyers. By our count, at least seven Trump lawyers have either testified to Jack Smith's grand jury or they have met with federal investigators. And it seems like these attorneys are starting to get worried about going down with the ship here. After quitting, Timothy Parlatore went on national television to say that another Trump lawyer, Boris Epstein, had attempted to interfere with Parlatore's search for classified documents at Trump's New Jersey golf club, which is not exactly the picture of everyone rowing in the same direction. And today, The Guardian is out with new reporting about the Trump lawyer who is the liaison between Trump and the DOJ. Evan Corcoran, that lawyer, was in charge of returning the classified documents to the department. Now, Corcoran reportedly told associates that in June of last year, he was waved off searching any room at Mar-a-Lago besides a single storage room. When Mr. Corcoran was looking for classified documents, he was told to check that one room and not to check anywhere else. He was waved off from searching places like Trump's office, which is where, of course, months later, the FBI would find the most highly classified documents. This reporting suggests again that not everyone is rowing in the same direction here, and it would also seem to buttress a potential obstruction case. A case that, if you read the reporting, already seems pretty strong. So at this point, it certainly seems like a lot of Trump lawyers are effectively saying, not it. And that makes sense. Remember that last week, the Washington Post and the New York Times reported that a Trump employee turned witness has told Special Counsel Smith that Trump ordered workers to move boxes back into the storage room right before his lawyer, Evan Corcoran, searched that storage room. And all that happened one day before federal investigators came to collect the documents. So was that Trump trying to mislead his own lawyers? Were some of Trump's lawyers also actively trying to mislead other Trump lawyers? And with so many lawyers testifying in these investigations, will any of them flip to save their own hides? We might not have to wait that long to find out. Bloomberg reported late last week that Special Counsel Smith is poised to announce criminal charges in this investigation in the days or weeks after Memorial Day.
Good news, everyone!
This is incredible when you think about it, right? You know, Trump always saying, I hope there's tapes. James Comey infamously.
Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
And now here there actually are. So what more do you know about the actual context of this conversation Trump was having?
So what's fascinating to me about this is actually months before that huge fight that happened to get the documents that Trump had back to the National Archives, back where they belong. That was when they sent those 15 boxes. It was around December, January. Mm-hmm. This was back in the summer of 2021. He's not at Mar-a-Lago. He's at Bedminster, his club there in New Jersey, and he's angry. He's in this meeting where these people who are writing an autobiography for his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, are. He's angry about this New Yorker story that's been published. It's focusing on General Milley and how basically General Milley, who is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, one of the highest ranking officials in the national security realm for Trump, was worried he would try to take military action in Iran as he was in those waning days of the presidency, disputing the election results, of course, lashing out at many people around him. And what's notable about this recording, which we haven't heard but people have described to us, is he's indicating that he's got this document that he says will undermine what Milley is saying. But really the point of this is that he's indicating he can't share it with the people in the room with him because he's aware of the fact that he has a limited ability in his post-presidency period to declassify documents, despite what he is claiming publicly. And he says something to the effect of, if I could show you this, but he can't actually show it to them. You can hear him on the recording, you know, rustling a paper around. We don't actually know that that was in fact the document. We don't know that that document was returned, but he is indicating to these people that he knew he took classified information and he had it, but he couldn't show it to them.
Right. And interesting, as you say, we don't know where that document is now, what happened to it, where it even is. But what are you all learning that investigators did with this information, right? When they got the tape, they listened to it. What have they done with it?
It doesn't appear that they've known about it for that long, because recently, I mean, this episode has generated enough interest that they took the step of having General Milley come in and speak to the investigators. And we don't know if he was subpoenaed. We don't know the exact details of that. But he is still the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He is still conducting business on a daily basis in the Pentagon. He was called before the investigators. And so the fact that it was big enough for them to come, him and to go and speak with them, which I'm told did happen recently, is really notable. And I think it raises the question of whether or not Trump's legal exposure here, given so much of this has undercut what he said publicly at town halls, the idea that what his attorneys have said as well, which is that everything happened so quickly when he moved that he just took these documents with him, didn't really know what it is. This audio seems to show he does know what he has, that he can't show it. And it's a big interest to the special counsel, Jack Smith.
Now let's go to former Trump White House lawyer Ty Cobb. You've told me the special counsel has an open and shut obstruction case against Trump, right, in the classified documents probe. You've been clear about that for a long time. But now we know the special counsel has this tape of Trump admitting there are limits on his ability to declassify documents. What does that mean for possible charges here?
It could mean two things. One, it further enhances the obstruction case because it eviscerates the two defenses that Trump has put forward, you know, the first being that merely by taking documents he declassifies them, or that he has the authority, if he's playing with the ducks in the hot tub, to declassify them in his own mind. Those are out the door now, because he's admitted that he understood there were restraints on what he could do with documents. As we know from the, you know, 16 agency letters that were disclosed 2 weeks ago, and the multiple people who advised him to that effect from the White House counsel's office upon his departure. So that's a compelling fact. It makes it easier to prove, but it's not in real dispute. On the other hand, it does show that he's been deceptive in his own statements. The second is it could put additional pressure
on Jack Smith to tie the obstruction case to the actual possession and use or dissemination of the classified documents. Now, whether he will or not is, of course, for him to decide. It's a strategic decision. You know, my own view is he doesn't need to, you know, extend or compromise the obstruction case by taking on the burden of the classified documents case, because he gets the full benefit of the classified documents evidence anyway in through statements like this. So I think that, you know, this makes the obstruction case more compelling.
Yeah.
It could add the two cases, you know, the obstruction and the possession and use of the classified information together. But that would delay things. And I think I don't see any eagerness on the part of Jack Smith and his team to slow down. I think they have their foot on his neck. I noticed that Trump, as he did 3 days before he was indicted by Alvin Bragg, was raising money today on the alleged coming indictment by Jack Smith. So I think Trump and his own team believe this is going to come quickly.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.